soundingthealarm.com. Warning, the events and issues of this broadcast are real and eternal.
This is Trevor Davis, sounding the alarm on February 14th, 2015. You know, I'm going to talk about love today. The world loves to talk about love. They have a holiday, Valentine's Day, after one of the various gods of Rome, an ancient custom, god of love, licentiousness, etc. But God, the God of gods, is a God of love. He is love. God is love. And he so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever would believe on him would not perish, but would have everlasting life. Today we're going to talk about the love of God and the truth and the salvation and the deliverance and the things that God will do for us if we seek him and love him and walk with him simply as children, believing and having faith. And a strong exhortation today about lies, things that are not truly of love, but are of selfishness and deceit and corruption. And we're going to talk about these things. Every day is a day of love in the kingdom of God. Every day. This is a reading from Ephesians 5:25 and following. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify, which means set apart, and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, which is the word ecclesia, which means assembly. It's not an institution of man. It's not a building. It's not the things that are commonplace throughout the history of the religious world. It's an assembly, a body of people that have faith, that are abiding with Jesus, that are washed, cleansed, delivered from this present evil world, and have faith in Jesus. He is their Lord. Going on, it says, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. How about that? You don't hear that often in the religious world. They don't talk about Christ washing you, cleansing you, sanctifying you, delivering you, that he might present it to himself a glorious assembly, not having any spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that's holy without blemish. That's the bride of Christ. That's the body of Christ. That's the assembly of Christ. And in Revelation 19, it talked about the wife of the bride, had made herself ready. How was that done? But by abiding in Jesus. And in this process, crucifying our flesh and our lusts and passions, being found in Christ, being born again of the Spirit, crucifying the nature of the flesh, and abiding in the vine. Making Jesus the Lord, seeking him, learning of him, and putting away the things that are not of him. That's the process. But you see the love of God in Jesus. He loves his church. He loves his assembly. And they love him. They won't follow the voice of strangers. They won't purposely violate his teaching. No. Why? Jesus said in Luke 6:46, why calleth me Lord, Lord, and do not the things I say? Now, I was thinking today about labels. Labels really are pretty insignificant. It's the content. You see what I'm saying? You could take a box of cereal, you could put Rice Krispies on the label, but if inside it's cornflakes or Cheerios, if it's done purposely to deceive, it's a deception. That's a falsehood. People say they're Christian, but they're not Christian. They don't have Christ. How can you be a Christian without Christ? People say they're leaders or elders, but they violate the word of God. They teach contrary. They have traditions contrary. They make void the word of God by keeping traditions. That's in Mark chapter 7. They seek their own will. They don't seek the will of the Lord. They're not like Jesus. They're not humble or servants. See, a label really doesn't mean anything. It's the content. And I'm also speaking of dynamic. Today, we're talking about love, corruption. We're also talking about the Santa Claus Society. And this is something I wrote sometime back, a few months ago. I'm just going to go through these notes because this relates to what we're talking about today through the Spirit of the Lord. And this process of being washed without spot, without having a wrinkle. You're going to have to make decisions to align yourself with Jesus and of his kingdom, his rule, his reign. Santa Claus is not real. There's no such thing. And this is an illustration of a dynamic that's fostered today in the world. It's widespread. Myths are believed by children, and adults are they that promote them. This is the way of the Santa Claus myth. Now, this is a whole story and belief system that is ongoing through generation. It involves government, education, media, religion, and commerce. And I wish that you would process this article and what I'm talking about right now beyond the superficial storyline of Santa Claus himself. And I want you to see the depth of myth, error, deception, the dynamic of this process, and how far-reaching it is. The Santa Claus myth is a belief system that affects how people live and even how they spend their money. I approach this as a spiritual exercise. I'm concerned for those who profess to be Christians or disciples of Jesus, and the undermining effects of embracing myths and promoting them as that it has on their spirituality. I see it as a total contradiction to basic discipleship of Jesus. A disciple's a follower of Jesus. Jesus never endorsed the heathen religions. He never participated in their rites, rituals, or celebrations. He never brought from the world an element and spiritualized it for true worship to God. Jesus, the apostles, or any other prophet from the Old Testament never did such things as to promote an ideal that was false as if it was true. The church, according to Paul the Apostle, is, quote, the ground and pillar of truth, unquote. So how can anything be in the true church or assembly if it's not true? Is that not a contradiction? The point I'm making here in this discussion is to see the dynamic of how myths occur. Santa Claus is just a major example of how this motif has infiltrated all aspects of the cultures of the world for the most part. I believe that people's eye, as in what Jesus said in Matthew 6 and various scriptures in the Old Testament and in the New Testament about the eye, the eye is the scope of a person's comprehension. I believe most people's eye is completely underdeveloped as well as corrupted. This is what Jesus instructed. Quote, the light of the body is the eye. If the eye is sound, then there is light for the direction of a person's life's activities and beliefs. If the eye is corrupted, then there is darkness. And how great is that darkness, he said. A blind person has eyes that do not function. Obviously, a spiritually blind person is a person whose cognitive and spiritual faculties are corrupted. This means they cannot see or perceive beyond the appearance of things. This is opposite of Jesus' command not to judge by the appearance, but judge righteous judgment. The majority of people, and even professing Christians, view things from a superficial judgment. They can't see beyond the appearance. They can't see beyond the facade. They can't see beyond the label. If something looks good, they think that it is good. But Jesus tells us to judge righteous judgment and discern, weigh, distinguish, judge, all through the abilities that God gives his followers through the Holy Spirit. We can discern through Scripture, through the Holy Spirit, and also having our spiritual senses developed by accurate assessment of what is true from false, what is spirit from flesh, of God, what is of the world, and knowing good from evil. That's in Hebrews 5:14. This is what God wants his people. The leaders of ancient Israel and Judah had become spiritually blind. That's in Isaiah 29:10-13. This is why Jesus spoke of the blind guides leading the blind, and that they would both fall into the ditch. Why? They can't see the road. They can't see the cliffs or the ditches that are everywhere. Thus, they are blind, obviously blind, and at times purposely blind. Either way, blind is blind. Blind people can't see. Does God want you to follow people that are blind? Who does God want you to follow? Jesus. God would not have us be blind spiritually. He would not have us walk in darkness. He would not have us believe lies, myths, errors, or twisted doctrines. Now, the key point is that I wish to show is that you should not tolerate or receive or bear with partial truths or leaven, lies, myths, and such. If you do, you're vulnerable and are in violation of the kingdom of God. 2 Corinthians 11:4 speaks of us not receiving a false gospel, a Christ, or a spirit, and not bearing with them. Now, you'll see this in Galatians chapter 1, in 2 Corinthians 11. Paul was saying how he labored in the gospel, labored in the truth of the gospel, which was taught him not by man, not by a school, not by getting letters from a theology school or system. He was taught personally by Jesus. And in Ephesians, he tells us also that we should be taught by the Lord. If we've heard him, where the truth is in Jesus. The world is deceived. The Christian world, the Christian religious world is deceived also. Deception will expand until the whole world is deceived under the auspices of the dragon's beast government of Revelation 13. Of the very last days, the last 42 months. The whole world lies in wickedness, John the Apostle said. Now I'm warning those who will hear that you cannot receive falsehood into your lives. You cannot bear with religious people that promote anything that's not true, or that's not sound, or that's not in Christ. People way accepting and tolerant and not guarded with receiving what they hear. We've spoken of the Santa Claus Society as an elaborate system of deception, an embracement, a promotion of a completely world doctrine. The church world claims to be in the church of Jesus, but it denies him by rejecting his word. Do you see this? The danger is when you tolerate error, when you embrace error, when you promote error. This is not the behavior of a true disciple of Jesus. And if you think you can do these things, then you have deceived your very own selves. The Pharisees asked Jesus one day why his disciples did not keep the traditions of the elders. Jesus retorted that the traditions violated the word of God, and thus their worship was in vain. Mark 7. But I think it's noteworthy how the Pharisees observed that Jesus' disciples did not keep their tradition. The Pharisees are religious people. They largely perform on a superficial, hypocritical stage. This is what Jesus condemned. They have no regard for the truth, as was often exposed by Jesus. They fear man, not God. They do all their works for public reaction. They love to be exalted over the simple people. They love their titles. On and on it goes, as you will read in Matthew 23 and other texts about the Pharisees, scribes, Sadducees, and Herodians. Jesus said, beware, take heed, and woe. God is looking for true worshipers that worship him in spirit and in truth. How can one worship God in spirit and in truth when they follow lies, myths, errors, and customs that come from other religions and gods? They can't. Many are defiled by the root of bitterness, which is idolatry. This is all from the scriptures, what I'm sharing here. One day, if they do not repent, they will find themselves outside the kingdom of God with the door shut. These are the warnings of Jesus Christ. He said that there would be many calling to him, begging for the door to be opened to him. Oh Lord, open to us. We did this. We did that. We know you, for we heard your teachings. We did good works. We were churchgoers. Then will Jesus profess unto them, depart from me, for I know you not, you workers of iniquity. I do not know from whence you are. I do not know your origin. I do not relate to your life. You are not in me. And there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth as the massive groups of people who thought in themselves they knew God are rejected by him and thrust out into outer darkness. There's a lot of myths today in our current culture. And these myths are embraced by religious churches, by the denominations, the schisms, the sects that are on every church and corner, every corner, every street, all these religious systems that are actually endorsed by the government. Yes, when you get a 501c3, it's a corporate status from the Internal Revenue Service, you have acceptance and it is an endorsement, approval. Now, you cannot tell me that Jesus Christ would ever have his ecclesia without spot, without wrinkle, without any such thing, having Caesar's endorsement. Because it's not true. This is one of the things God is dealing with in the last days. People are going to have to decide whether they're going to be part of the assembly of Satan or the assembly of Jesus. You can't be in both. Does the church of Jesus embrace myth? Does it bear with myth, lies, half-truths? Or does it herald the truth? Does it call for discernment? And does it warn the flock? Does it support the lies? Of course not. What people do not have the eyes to see is the absolute treacherous deception that the powers that be in the world today, and that governments of rebellion, they have an agenda that is antichrist. They will continue until they create their one world government. The devil will mimic God by having his all-seeing eyes through technology. He will offer this world government the lying wonders of being godlike in knowing, hearing, and seeing all things, and will exact a power that no man, no person, no nation can resist. But God will confound this government after 42 months and will judge it and its people with great darkness and mighty signs and judgments. A disciple of Jesus is not to entangle themselves with the affairs of this world. If you can see it, you will observe how religious leaders and captains of men, quote from the scriptures, leaders of religious centers are leading people to vote for this particular one and that one, even Mormons who believe the serpent gospel, that man becomes a god, another spirit, another gospel, another Christ, which is Antichrist. And then they'll tell you to vote for people like this. This is all a farce. It's an illusion. Would a true man of God do that? But a true leader, elder that knows Jesus, guide you into the things of the world like that? Do they conceal and hide information? No. False elders killed Jesus. And they will do the same in the coming days as Jesus' words are fulfilled when they shall, quote, take you up and beat you in their synagogues, which is a place of worship. And they that kill you will think they do God's service. These are scriptures in case you're not familiar. This is the first warning of Jesus regarding the last days, is that his followers take heed that no one deceive you. How can you take heed when you make it commonplace to receive and bear with falsehood? Now you see why we're having this discussion. People have become desensitized to errors. They see lies. There's a dragon agenda today that's perverting and corrupting the minds of people and their hearts. And this is why their eyes become darkened, which Jesus warned. Take heed that the light in you be not darkness. When you're self-willed, you cannot see. When you lay down your life to follow Jesus is when you can see. And this is when you can understand. God shuts off your illumination, your understanding, when you are hypocritical, when you don't love righteousness, when you tolerate wickedness. Now, think about this. We're talking about the Santa Claus Society, a whole group of people, even in the religious world, that follows and embraces and tolerates myths and lies, things that are contrary to the scripture, and has done so over and over and over. And this leaves you outside the act of God that is washing and cleansing and making a bride white without spot, blemish, wrinkle, or any such thing. John the Baptist was in the wilderness, baptizing people into repentance, preparing them for the coming of Jesus Christ. And now the same Spirit that was in John the Baptist is preparing people for the coming of the Lord. Repent, believe on Him, and bring forth fruit worthy of repentance. Now I ask, why is it that every sin of ancient Israel and Judah that's recorded in the scriptures, that all the prophets dealt with, their idolatry, their worldliness, their rebellion, their adultery to God? Why is it that all of these things are in the church world today? The same idolatries, harlotry, false doctrine, blind elders and leaders opposing God and His servants that speak in His name. Remember, they killed all the prophets, but they built their mausoleums. Rejecting the word of the Lord, hypocrisy, and more. Note Ezekiel 16, 49 through 50, the description when God said, "You're like your sister Sodom." These things were written for our admonition and learning, and I'm convinced that the same spirit of the Pharisaical religion that was developed in Israel and Judah is now present in today's religious world. God sent prophets to them, they were rejected. God was rejected. God sent judgment upon them, sending them out of the land that he gave them. They were sent to Babylon for 70 years. And after this, they developed rabbinic Judaism, a religion, with traditions, with customs, with celebrations that were from the heathen and pagan world. Read Ezekiel 8. Stunning. All the traditions of the elders that Jesus spoke about, they created the Mishnah, the Midrash, Talmud, even extra-biblical writings. They created worship systems that were not of God. Remember that the people worshiped Tammuz. They worshiped the sun. They faced the east, as God exposed in this Ezekiel 8. Ever heard of Easter? Facing the east, the rising of the sun. It's the same identical custom. Jesus was executed on Passover because he is the Passover. And after 3 days and nights, after the sign of Jonas, the prophet, he was raised from the dead, but as it was written according to scriptures. The Passover is lunar-based, not sun-based. They worshiped the creation, the stars. They worshiped the works of their own hands. They made poles, obelisks, images, and icons, and many such things of vanity that God detests. These are all still seen today as commonplace in the religious customs of Christianity. They followed holidays of the heathen and Christianized them. Ladies and gentlemen, this system, these leaders are the Pharisee religionists that killed Jesus, that worked with Rome. As Psalms 2 and Acts 4 document, they conspired together to execute Jesus. They are the builders that reject the cornerstone. They have infiltrated in the spirit the Christian church institutions. They have the same marks with titles and alignment with the government, like Rome. They have false doctrines, idolatry, false celebrations from the heathen, and on and on and on. Hypocrisy, the monetizing of the things of God, hireling, standing in the place of God, putting themselves on spiritual plateaus over the people. The Pharisees are a spiritual construct. It's not a physical one. They are not Jews, for a Jew is one inwardly. The flesh or DNA is not of significance to God anyway, since the flesh profits nothing. Phariseeism is a spirit and a dynamic that any race, any person, any people can be. Do you see this? They are known by their fruit. They are known by this. They speak of themselves. They serve themselves. They promote themselves. They will not hear the word of God. They oppose the truth. They are hypocrite actors performing. They know scripture. They speak elements of truth, but do not do it. They speak of the world, for they are of the world. They are the enemies of God and are the enemies of the cross of Christ. It's been on my heart to share this about the Santa Claus myth, the Santa Claus society. In 2 Thessalonians 2:8 and following, speaking of the last days, verse 2, in flaming fire, the Lord coming back in his return. Then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, listen, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. We're talking about love, God's love, and the love of Christ that cleanses people, a pure people, a peculiar people, that walk in truth, that would not have anything to do with another God, another celebration, or a religious system that is unclean and is an enemy to God. In Acts 20:29, the early church. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. Wolves that wear sheep's clothing. They have a label, they have a front, they have a facade, they have an act, they have a lingo. But their agenda is a wolf to devour. They're treacherous. And this is what we've been warned about. So why is it in the church world, the so-called elders, which are not elders of Jesus, they have a label, but they don't have the dynamic. If it was Christ, the eldership, the bishopness, the pastor, the apostle, the prophet of Christ, that's through his ministries, as God sends forth ministers to minister to those people, the true people that are of him, he will warn them, protect them, urge them to make Jesus their head and their Lord, to hear his voice and to do what he says. But they would never cover over the acts of the kings of the earth that are in rebellion against the Lord. No way. The most famous icon celebrity preachers today in our generation is Billy Graham. Synonymous with Christianity. When you think of Christianity, people think of Billy Graham. And the man has stated the most unbelievable, corrupted things. How people could be Christians and be part of other religions, not even knowing who the Lord is, but be part of the body of Christ. Now, someone that knows Jesus doesn't talk like that, but a universalist does. A one that's been deceived and lost his light and gone astray speaks like that. One that seeks to please man and not God alone. Or Rick Warren, a globalist, a wolf in sheep's clothing, a false teacher who brings in heathen and men of other spirits and doctrines and gospels, and yet has influence over millions of pastors, leaders, that have influence over multiple millions of professing Christians. Wouldn't a true elder, wouldn't a true ministry warn you? The warnings are in the Word. The warning is in the Scriptures. The warning is in the Spirit. If you hear, listen, 2 Peter 2:1. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you who privily, secretly, by stealth, shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. How many churches are there? Ephesians 4, 4 and 5. There is one body and one Spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. Is that the church assembly that you're in? Are you in the terror church? Jude 1:10, but these speak evil of those things which they know not, but what they know naturally as brute beasts. Brute, without knowledge, a logos, no knowledge, beast. In those things that they corrupt themselves. The Lord calls us to love the truth, to buy the truth and not compromise, to love righteousness and hate iniquity, to follow Jesus, to love him, to know his voice, to follow him. And the true assemblies of Jesus will warn you and lead you and teach you the truth. They don't lord over you and exercise dominion upon you, as Jesus said in Matthew 20. True ministries of Christ speak of Christ, serve Christ, love Christ. I hope you consider these things.